There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for a Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Jarrett Reddick, musician, singer, songwriter, producer, voice actor, and frontman in the Texas rock band Bowling for Soup. We had such a great time chatting that we covered enough ground for a two-part interview, and this is part one. In it, we talk about life in quarantine, his musical background and forming the band, as well as his songwriting collaborations with Butch Walker and Adam Schlesinger. Concerning the former, the band had their first hit with a tune that Reddick wrote with Walker, Girl All the Bad Guys Want. Let's hear some of that now, and then I'll be back with Jarrett for part one of our Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Is the Mighty Manfred, and with me for our Coolest Conversations today is the lead vocalist and guitarist in Bowling for Soup, Jarrett Reddick. He's also a songwriter, composer, producer, podcaster, voice actor. Hi, Jarrett, how are you?
Man, I am doing great. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing all right. You know, the world is especially crazy, been crazy, even more so crazy recently. A lot of stuff going on around us now. Are you and your family and friends healthy in these pandemic times?
Yeah, you know, we played it pretty safe. We, you know, everybody in the band, you know, stayed put, and me and my family have been hunkered down with a couple of other families. The three houses kind of playing by the same rules, so at least we're able to go over there, and they're able to come to our house, and so we've at least had a bit of a social life, and our kids have been able to play and things. But yeah, you know, as you say, the world is a bit in disarray right now. It's you know, there's disheartening things happening, and you know, just kind of gotta try to think on the positive sides of things when you can, and just be thankful that you're happy and healthy, and hope that things are resolved the way they should be soon.
Right. I like the idea of you guys having this extended pod. You know, that's really cool.
It's been really nice. I mean, it's you know, it's like instead of three houses going to the store, it's just somebody goes to the store. They're like, anybody need anything, you know? And then I think that's been a big part of our sanity for sure.
Oh, that is very cool. So you were living in the Dallas area right now. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. Born and raised. We're from Wichita Falls, Texas. We moved down to Denton, Texas when we started the band 26 years ago. And then, you know, we've just stayed. There were times, I think, in my career where it would have benefited me financially to move to New York or to LA, but being a dad and being sort of in the middle of those two worlds has always served me well. So, you know, I love Texas, and I don't think I'll ever leave.
So you grew up in Wichita Falls?
That's right. Yeah. Grew up in Wichita Falls and, you know, went to all of my schooling there and graduated from college there. And about that time we had started the band and, you know, off we went.
So you have a lot of brothers and sisters. Is that right?
I do. I have three sisters, and a brother. And my brother and I grew up together. I actually didn't find my sisters until just a few years ago. Found my biological dad, and who had passed away, but have managed to grow really close to my sisters, who didn't know about me either. And so it's been quite a story. We'll have to save that for a different interview, because man, it is super Jerry Springer-y.
Absolutely. Well, speaking about yourself now, first of all, was there a lot of music in the home as you grew up?
So my parents they loved music. My mom played the piano around the house, but I wouldn't say that she was a pianist. She just sort of like messed around and, would play on weekends and things. But it really wasn't her passion or anything. But in the car, there was just always music. There's a scene in National Lampoon's Vacation where they're going around this corner and the two parents are just singing up a storm and the two kids are back in the background rolling their eyes. Those are my parents. I mean, that's the way that it was. It was just harmonizing and them just singing along to music. And quite frankly, that was amazing because, you know, back then car trips were all our age. And so we were in the car quite a bit. And so, you know, my exposure to music was very diverse. It was Kenny Rogers and Waylon and Willie, and then the Eagles, which is a big one. And then, but then, you know, there was disco, there's Donna Summer and that whole world. And then they were huge into Neil Diamond and things like that. And then, you know, my dad would surprise me and listen to Steppenwolf, and they were very diverse. So there was always music around, there was always music on. And so, yeah, interestingly enough, you know, and not to keep going back to this, but the crazy thing is that, you know, there wasn't like someone who was a musician that was around, but then I would go to find out that my biological father, who I never knew, was a musician who had a band his entire life. He played all the instruments that I do, you know, and he actually owned a radio station. So, you know, there's a bit of nature and nurture right in me, I think, where I think, you know, I was probably destined to do this one way or another. You know, took me a while to realize it, but, you know, I started playing drums at 13 and, you know, and then would just buy a guitar to just start writing songs. And that's kind of how it all started.
Well, did you ever play as a drummer in a band?
I did. Yeah. All through school. And I also was in school band. So I was in marching band and concert band. And then I played timpani and orchestra. And then, I was in a bunch of bands when I was a kid playing drums, and was really good. I mean, I was a better drummer than I am a guitar player, but it's not like riding a bike. I have not played in a very long time. So when I sit down behind a drum set now, other than play a nice AC/DC beat, I'm pretty much worthless. I was in metal band. So I was, you know, huge double bass kick. I had really long hair and I could swing it in a circle and, you know, all of that stuff.
So a lot of guitarists I've known over the years, they really will be frustrated drummers. And they'll write a song and they'll be like all over the drummer. No, do it like this. Do it like this. And drummer's looking at him, you know, okay, man, I'll try and get what you want. So now your drummer is Gary Weissman, right?
Yes.
Is he pretty tolerant of you then?
You know, what a great question. Yes, I speak drum. So that's one of the things where I think there's a lot of things, you know, that go into being in a band, but I think communication is such a big factor. And I think ego gets in the way sometimes when you can't communicate properly. So yeah, it's hard for a musician to be told what to play, you know, but when it's spoken in a way that it's understandable, like, well, the reason I want to do this and I want this fill to go because I want to hit on that beat, you know, whatever it is. And so he actually really embraces it. And he will ask me too, you know, he likes to put his stuff on there. And sometimes I'll go, I really don't like that because it's really taking away from this. And he'll be like, okay, I understand. And so, you know, he wants to play the song that's in my head. So yeah, it's, again, I talk about that all the time. That's a very great question. I say I speak drum.
Well, tell me some about Chris Burney. He's the other guitar player in the band, and he's been with you since the beginning. You guys also knew each other in high school too, right?
We did. Yeah, I actually knew him since I was a really little kid because his brother was the same age as me. His brother passed away when we were in high school. But yeah, it's pretty sad situation. But so I always knew who Chris was. And Chris started a little coffee shop there in little town, Wichita Falls. It's where a bunch of bands would play. And so my band played there. And that's really where we met later in life. And, you know, we just found a common interest in laughter. You know, the band that I was wanting to start, I needed a guitar player who just was fun to be around. And Chris was the guy. And we just clicked instantly. Again, Chris is the sweetest human being in the world. And he really is. He would literally do anything for anyone. But he also is not someone that you want to mess with. He's nice to have around with because nobody will ever mess with me if he's around. Because he's a very big guy, big dude. Yes. And he's a very strong individual as well. And so you do not want to mess with Chris. But
telling me, so early on, you never had a problem getting paid by clubs because, you know, Chris was so walked up with you? Or
what a funny, that's another great question. Actually, here's the best part about our relationship. He's muscle, but he's never really mean until he has to be. I am actually the crazy person when it comes to us getting paid. So I would get us into the heat of that whole thing, and then he would have to come in there and make sure I didn't get shot. So that happened more than once, as you know, when you're road dogging it, you know, and they're just like, hey, you know, we don't have any money for you. I'm like, well, you better find some because we don't have a tank of gas.
Well, so we mentioned Gary Wiseman, the drummer, the bass player, Rob. How do you say his last name? Is it Felicetti? Felicetti. So the bass is Rob Felicetti. He's the new guy, right? A couple of years or so. So new guy. I don't know if you're familiar with the Fleshtones, but their bass player, Ken Fox, has been in the band since the 90s. And it's only recently, like the last couple of years, that he's not been referred to as the new guy anymore. Do you think Rob can hang in there for about 15 or so years for that?
The best part about this whole thing and about that question is that Gary has been in the band for over 20 years. And he has been the new guy since then, because I started the band with my best friend from grade school, Lance Morrell. And Lance was in the band for 4 years. And it was a split because the band was starting to do well and he didn't want a tour. That was never his thing. So we got Gary in the band, and Gary has literally been the new guy for over 20 years. And then so Rob, yes, is now the new guy. And man, I think he'll be fine. He's a little younger than us, a little younger than Gary. I mean, our age is pretty, it spans a pretty wide array now because Chris is 10 years older than Gary. I think Rob is 7 years younger than Gary, but Rob is young and hungry, and he's just a ball of energy and fun and always up to hang. And again, another just great soul to have in a band because he wants things to be right. Our live show is a very big part of our band. We use a lot of improv in our show. There's just a lot of back and forth of, like, you don't ever know really what's going to be talked about or what's going to be said. And, you know, we don't rehearse any of it, but Rob will ask, like, hey, did I go too far on this thing or whatever? And I'm like, well, if you have to ask me that, then probably no, that's great. Whatever. But he has just been a real blessing. And, you know, obviously Eric will always be our brother. And, you know, he was in the band 24 years, but there is a energy now in Bowling for Soup that I think maybe was starting to fade a little bit. And there's a happiness in that. You know, you talk about the locker room when you talk about sports, and a band is not much different than that. You know, if you have a happy locker room, you have a happy band. So you have a happy bus, happy backstage, happy band, you know. So he's been a godsend. He really has.
Well, over the years, you've had some pop hits, and two of them you wrote with Butch Walker, Girl All the Bad Guys Want and Almost. And we're big fans of Butch's here in the Underground Garage. How did you guys meet and how did you start working together?
I love that. I was just talking to Butch last night. You know, what's funny is I loved Marvelous 3, but I wasn't just like this huge fan. I loved their hit that they had, and I had seen them live and I just thought they were amazing. And then Butch had started producing and his name was just brought up to me. And it was really funny because just weeks before that, I had been in New York City and I had just seen him walking on the street, but I didn't know him yet. And so then, you know, a few weeks later, somebody's like, what do you think about Butch Walker producing the record? He's really into it. And I'm like, man, that's just too, I mean, I'm not really into like cosmic stuff, but I'm like, that's super weird because I just randomly saw this dude. So yeah, man, that's how it started. And you know, it was a few phone calls. He was a really busy guy and he was young and he was real overt, you know, in that like, hey, you know, basically have your stuff together when you get here, you'd be able to play your stuff and let's do this thing. And I sent him demos and actually I just told him this last night, you know, as a producer, you know, you guys probably, you know, obviously about just how amazing a musician and a producer he is, but he is just so intelligent with things. It's subtle. He doesn't necessarily produce things and just try to like change a bunch of stuff so that he has his stamp on things. He knows a couple of little twists and turns that the song needs and you just go, oh, you know, like that. And not every song too, you know, it's just, you know, we had a song called Emily that was a single and he basically just deleted the intro and go, just start it with this vocal. And we were like, oh my God, that's insane. That really works. So, and I just can't say enough about him. He's the sweetest human being in the world. And you can learn a lot from just being around him, both musically and as a human being.
You mentioned seeing Butch Walker walking down the street there in New York. What was he wearing? Was there anything about his appearance that made him stand out to you?
Yeah, because that's what it was. This had to have been, well, we did that record in 2002. So it was 2001, 2002. And yeah, he just, you know, he was dressed like he was in Marvelous Threes. He had, and you know, he's real tall and real skinny. And, you know, he's always had great, he had, you know, great hair. He's still got great hair, but he, you know, he's always had his hair sticking up. So he just was always dressed like he was going on stage. You know, the other guy that's like that is Vinny from Sponge. You know, just when you see that dude, you're just like, oh, okay, that dude's a rock star, you know? And, so yeah, that's, you couldn't not recognize him, you know, on the streets of the biggest city in the world, you know?
Right. Well, another song that you guys did well with, High School Never Ends, and that was written with Adam Schlesinger, who, you know, passed away sadly just a few weeks ago from COVID-19. Yes. What was it like working with Adam?
Adam is a calculated genius, was a calculated genius. May he rest in peace. Again, I realize I'm saying this about every person I talk about, but also just a sweet, sweet human being. And I think the fact that I can say that about all of these people that you ask me about is just shows just how blessed I've been to work with such great people. Adam is very, or was very, like I said, he's very calculated. He takes his time on everything. So when I write, I usually write really, really fast. And Butch and I wrote very, very fast. I still write very fast. I mean, most of the hits I have were written very, very quickly. And in fact, like Girl the Bad Guys Want, for example, we didn't even have the bridge or the second verse written. We literally wrote it as I was singing it. Like, okay, what should we say here? What should we say here? And we joke about that all the time because that's the hardest laughter I think I've ever had while making an album. But back to Adam. With him, Adam, we would sit and we'd have a line and he'd have it up on his computer and I'd have it down and I'm like ready to move to the next part. And he'd just keep going over and over and over and over again just to see if he could beat it. And I think that's why Fountains of Wayne songs are so respected. Musicians love Fountains of Wayne because those songs are just so well crafted.
Yeah.
And that's what Adam was. Adam was a craftsman and just a true musician and a true great person to be around. Sort of a nerd, you know, like just that music nerd guy that you just know, like when he was in high school, he just probably just sat in his room and played guitar all the time. And, you know, like it's just
was a cool kid, is what you're telling me.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna miss him. You know, that one hurt quite a bit. That one took a few days to even be able to breathe in. But, you know, I always try to think about happy things. I love the legacy that he's left for his kids. And, you know, so we'll just I'll tip a Diet Dr. Pepper to him now.
There are a couple of lyric lines in there I really love in that particular song. And I still have the same three friends, and I'm pretty much the same as I was back then.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure who came up with the lyrics there, but I want to think, oh, maybe they, maybe you're actually referring to the other guys in the band.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm basically the same, pretty much the same as I was back then. Does that still apply to you now?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because I think, you know, when you're, as you get into adulthood, you either sort of adapt to your surroundings or you freeform, you know. I think most people just kind of adapt to their surroundings and become who they're going to be. But when you're just going and going and going all the time and, you know, your life is just constantly being uprooted and changing and things like that, you tend to just be the person who you've always been. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we sort of jokingly on that line, I mean, the idea is that, like, I mean, like, we all still dress the same as we did when I wrote that song. You know, I still think the same movies are funny and I still listen to the same songs and, you know, those kind of things. But yes, that's exactly where that line came from. I still have the same three friends was, you know, in fact, when I would do that line live and, you know, I just kind of point around the stage. but yeah, it's still true. I mean, I have a podcast called Jarrett Goes to the Movies and we just did Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Uh-huh. And that movie came out, I think, right before I went into high school. And I did not realize I still know every single line from that movie. So, and laughed as if I were seeing it for the first time.
Right. And you've actually been to the basement in the Alamo, right?
I have been to the Alamo and joked about the basement the entire time, much to the dismay of the Alamo staff, who have probably heard that 1,000 times a day since the 80s.
Yeah. Well, hey, Kelly Ogden of the Dolly Rots, did you know she is a disc jockey here in the Underground Garage?
Of course I did. Kelly is my best friend, one of my best friends, but Kelly is my best friend that's a girl that's not my wife. So, but of course, yes, I know. I love hearing her on the radio. And, you know, we've known each other for over a decade and her and Lewis are family to me. You know, we vacation together and, you know, our kids know one another and she is a star and there's no, that is one of those people that just, when she walks into a room, you just know, like, that's Kelly Ogden. She's a freaking star.
Well, I know you guys had a split single with her back in 2011, and she sang on your album Drunk Dynasty, most recent full length. So how did the Dolly Rots even come up on your radar?
I had been hearing them actually on Sirius XM. And so I knew who they were because I'm Awesome was doing that. And then my Chris actually sent them just a random message and just said, hey, I like you guys. You know, you guys are awesome. And she wrote back. And so they had a dialogue going and we were starting to plan a tour and Chris brought it up. He just, you know, it's funny thing about Chris Burney. He never says anything, but when he does, it's usually something brilliant. So like he won't say anything for 2 months and then he comes up with the name of the album.
He never says anything.
Yeah.
So he's just mute? I mean,
no. I'm just saying he doesn't really like put input into stuff.
Right.
He just, you know, he talks about sports and his dog, you know, and then he won't be really just that much into like giving you ideas and stuff. And then he'll go, we should get the Dolly Rots. And it's like, okay, we'll get the Dolly. But anyway, I was just like, yeah, man, I love that song.
But, that's the song you guys did, right? That was your half of the split single is Because I'm Awesome.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, that song I think is just timeless. It's a, that's a great one.
I was going to say, but you never produced the Dolly Rots. Is that something you've ever wanted to do?
You know, I don't know. I think they're a bit, there are some bands I think that like probably don't need to be managed and some bands that really, you know, they kind of just, Lewis has a way that he wants to do things.
Yeah.
And he's pretty set in that. And so I would never want to disrupt that formula. I mean, would I like to? Sure. I would love to have just complete control and like do a song for them. You know, I don't know if they would really want that or need that or whatever, but I mean, I'm really lucky. I got to, you know, I've gotten to work with them in other capacities, obviously. You know, I'm not sure if you were going to mention it, but maybe we were leading there, but me and Kelly actually have a band together called Jarrett and Kelly. And, we released our first record a year and a half ago called Jarrett and Kelly Sitting in a Tree. And so, you know, it's been fun to like to be able to produce her and to and Lewis to help out with our with, you know, engineering some of our demos and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then me and Kelly actually with Lewis did the theme song to the show Schooled, which went two seasons. It just got canceled. So, you know, we've gotten to work together in quite a few capacities. And again, I can't get enough of those guys.
Sit right there and take a picture. Nobody's ever gonna miss you. Time to step up and right now, here we go. No more with your lame excuses. You're not gonna die from a couple of bruises. So get up off your ass and here we go.
Here we go. That was Jared and Kelly. Jared Reddick with Kelly Ogden off 2019's album Sitting in a Tree. With that track, we end part one of our Coolest Conversations with Jared. Thanks to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. And join me next week for part two, where we'll talk about other artists he's worked with, like Not Your Girlfriends, Ryan Hamilton, and Kurt Baker. We'll also talk about his career as the voice of Chuck E. Cheese and his latest single with Bowling for Soup, Alexa Bliss, and its video. That's your next week's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.